This boy was in a train accident in Korea. Both legs are already off below the knee, but his spirits are high. Nothing is going to stop him from becoming a draftsman. Those on the staff at Walter Reed Hospital do all that can be done to save a limb. The tests are endless. This is an electromyograph. It checks muscles and nerves. These are the nerve sounds of an undamaged arm. This is an arm that may have to go. Sometimes nothing can save a limb. Experience, research, deft hands, and miracle drugs. This is an actual recording made in one of Walter Reed's white-tiled operating rooms as our microphone listened above the operating table. This one is on the third floor, and for more than an hour, a 19-year-old veteran of the Korean fighting lies on the table and gives up an arm.
This blade wasn't very sharp, miss.
Another 10 blade, Thompson, please.
I'm going to hold them back, please, if I can. They're free, that just all normal.
It's like a bunch of tendons, isn't it?
Yes, you can see with a decrease in blood supply due to these tissues. Now this boy will be a lot better off. He gets that 51 model on there. He's a great intelligent young fellow. He thought this thing all out.
Well, he's got a useless arm and hand there. That's
all we're cleaned off now. That's already. Okay, you hold your arm in there so I won't catch any of the soft tissues.
Okay.
Okay, back there?
Yeah, it's clear.
Get ready. Take the tourniquet down. Just a minute.
Muscle.
Corporal Richard Knupp comes from Somerset, Pennsylvania. He's been through it already. He lost a hand.
I was wounded in the right hand, and 2 days later, gas gangrene set in. So there wasn't much left for them to do but amputate it. When I went to a hospital at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, and get in there and seen some of the fellows that were worse off than I was, I thought I was lucky.
The men count their blessings, modest as they may be. Those who can get about in wheelchairs don't spend all their time racing each other up and down the hospital's corridors and ramps.
Good afternoon. Are you PSC Edward Chapman?
Yes, sir.
We came by to see you this afternoon and see if there's any courses that you'd be interested in taking while you're here in the hospital.
Well, yes, sir. I think I'll take the course electrician beginner. I think I'll be interested in that.
Everybody shows an interest when the Red Cross Gray Ladies move through the wards with cakes and cookies baked at home, almost like Mom would make.
Who wants some more chocolate cake?
I want sherbet ice cream.
Did I say I want some cake?
Did you have some?
Yes, ma'am.
You can have some more. Did you want some more?
Yeah.
How about you? Did you want some more? Hand that to your buddy over there.
If you think American youth is soft, as some would have us believe, listen to what our recorder picked up in Ward 34. A double amputee singing with a phonograph beside his bed.
If I miss a day, I know I'm to blame. Must have been insane.
Now, the youngster from Maine who wants to be a draftsman is a double amputee, too. He grows impatient as the days go on.
I'm Dr. Keiter.
Glad to know you, sir.
How have you been getting along?
Fine, up to this point, sir. How long do you think it'll be before I can get my legs and start walking?
Ordinarily, at this particular stage of the game, you are about 6 to 8 weeks away from final fitting for your artificial legs and complete control in using them.
But before this boy and others like him can be fitted with man-made limbs, they have to strengthen and exercise the residue of war.
All right, now if you'll raise your stump up and back of you, hold up there, and relax. This is to strengthen these muscles that pull your stump back and which will help you in locking the knee on your prosthesis when you start to walk. Now hold it up there and relax. And again, pull up and hold it and relax.
Learning to walk isn't so simple when you're 25. It's different now. You have to learn all over again. You go back to school.
In trying the suction socket on, you must remember to always have a stockinette or a silk stocking to help pull your stump down into the prosthesis so that you will always maintain adequate suction so that the prosthesis will stay on while you're walking.
How long will it take before I can walk on it?
Well, you should be able to walk out of the shop with it. When you leave here, it'll be necessary for you to go to physical medicine and go to walking class.
In the hospital gymnasium, whole men of a few months ago walk with an unsteady step on the maroon and black asphalt floor.
Bring your good foot back so it's back behind you and balance on it. And again, forward on your prosthesis and back. All right, and forward again and back. Use your hands on the bars as little as possible.
No matter what the hospital staff tries to do to make life easier and happier, there are those inescapable moments of loneliness when you lie in your bed, alone, hoping, praying, waiting for someone close to you to stick his head through the ward door.
You fly away, for I know you're just a slave.
PFC Joel Mason was waiting, but no one came. From his bed in Ward 34, he could see Jimmy Willman's mother talking to her son, but he couldn't hear.
Jimmy, how do you feel tonight?
Perfect condition.
How are you treated in the hospital here?
Oh, pretty good.
Do you want anything? Do you need anything?
Nothing that they don't give me.
We supply everything for you. I don't have to bring anything to you?
No.
Are you sure?
Well, you could supply me a few blondes, brunettes, redheads.
Well, I'm not going to do that. You look out for your own blondes and redheads.
Okay.
When you see one coming down, just this ladder.
To break the monotony, the awful loneliness that seems to creep up at night, each ward sees two movies a week. Occasionally gets to watch and hear amateur shows like this one. Not good, but better than nothing.
When you say your eyes reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some dog.
Quick smoke, a last look at the picture you keep on your bedside table, then taps and lights out. Only one out of the 40 new patients coming to the hospital each day is an amputee case. There are many, many other ills to cure. A bad chest cold, cancer. Those with circulatory ailments are helped and comforted by the Whirlpool bath.
How does that feel, Captain Ross?
Oh, it feels wonderful. The water is very relaxing and soothing. It allows me to move my foot a lot more easily and makes it feel quite good.
Research in cancer goes on endlessly.
You get the apparatus ready, and I'll look the tissue over and give you a piece in which you can cut and stain right away.
Here's your first slide.
The tissue looks malignant. I think I'll call surgery and let them know that it is, and so it won't hold them up.
Some have lost their voice boxes, their larynx. But they make the adjustment, learn to speak and breathe in a new way, like this.
I lost my larynx about 10 years ago. And people ask me, have you got a bad cold? And I just let it go at that, because there's no use going up into a lot of conversation to let them explain how it is. I can do almost anything that anybody else can do, except sing in the choir.
And while some learn to talk all over again, others who have lost much of their power to hear are tested to determine what modern science can do to restore them as useful citizens.
Wigwam.
Wigwam.
Greyhound.
Greyhound.
Headlight.
Headlight.
Eyebrow.
Eyebrow.
Workshop.
Shop.
Outside.
Outside.
Hot dog.
Hot.
Toothbrush.
Tooth.
Much of Walter Reed's hospital's efforts are devoted to occupational therapy, classes designed to keep mind and morale going while the body slowly mends.
In order to help you regain the full use of your arm and to bring your normal breathing capacity back, work on the printing press would be a good activity.
Well, nurse, I have a pain in my chest any time I try raising my arm above my shoulder. Will that make any difference?
Well, to begin with, you should raise your arm as high as you can without pain. Then, as you improve, this handle on the press will be lengthened so that your arm must be raised higher to operate the press. Shall we try working the press now?
Well, if you say so, let's go.
Remember the boy from Maine? The boy who's going to be a draftsman one day? Well, it's a long time now since he sent that telegram home. The stumps of his two legs have healed. And now, the day has arrived.
Say, nurse, they tell me my legs are down here. Could I get them now?
That's right, Bruce. Here they are. Are you all ready to try them out?
I sure am.
All right, the first step is to get those ace bandages off. And we'll have to get you up on one of the tables here in order to put them on.
Boy, I've been waiting 6 months for this day.
The long wait is over. The suffering, the pain, the moments of loneliness, of helplessness, they're all behind him now. He has his legs again. The step is steady. The cycle, the long cycle is completed. He's walking, and on his own legs. Nothing is going to stop him. For many, the battle is not easy, but it's one that must be fought, and more often than not is won. Those who go through Walter Reed are given every chance and encouragement to find new faith and hope and confidence. Not all, but most of them find it. There's one last word from the chaplain for the youngster from Maine and the world.
The doctor tells me you are leaving the hospital soon and will be going back home. I'm sure that you're glad it's over. But in one way, your fight is not over. You still have a big job to do. Besides getting established in some business and raising your family, you have the task of keeping the fires of courage and freedom burning in the hearts of the folks back home. The loss of your limb is a handicap, but it will also be a great reminder. A reminder that the really valuable things in life are never won in a single battle. Freedom and peace come only when liberty-loving people care for them enough to work and sacrifice for them. May God bless you and keep your courage high.
You have just heard Program 18 in the CBS series Hear It Now, a document for air based on the week's news. Hear It Now is edited and produced by Edward R. Murrow and Fred W. Finley, and the CBS staff, which includes Joseph Werschfer, Edmund Scott, Jesse Zausmer, John Aaron, and Irving Gifton. Portions of the program originated at WTOP, Washington, WTAL, Tallahassee, WHEC, Rochester, WBBM, Chicago, KMOX, St. Louis, WGBS Miami, KNX Los Angeles, KLRA Little Rock, KMBC Kansas City, and KLZ Denver. Korean recordings were by CBS correspondent George Herman. Edward R. Murrow can be heard over most of these same CBS stations Monday through Friday at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Olin Tice speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.